Our Father in heaven, we lift our hearts up to you and ask for your blessing and for your strength. We come before you as your children. And we want to do something that honors you and that is a blessing to you and to your work and for the gospel. And so, Lord, we ask for your guidance and your help and your inspiration in those things. And we ask for your presence now amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. In the mid-1600s, England had been a Protestant nation for about 100 years. And scholarship was excelling through their university system. And from there came a young man named Christopher Wren, who was a brilliant mathematician and an engineer. In 1664, he was asked to design a public building. He'd never done architecture before, but he was interested in it. And so he designed a building. And he did so well at it that the University of Cambridge asked him to design a church for them, a new church at Pembroke College, which was the seat, the heart of Protestant leadership in that age. After he did this, he designed and built this church. That became his passion, building churches. Before he was done with his life, he had built 53 churches in the city of London alone, as well as many other government and public buildings. His greatest achievement, and the place where he was buried, was London's St. Paul's Cathedral, which is the largest Protestant cathedral in the world. And it was made famous to our generation by the portrayal of a sweet little woman sitting on its steps, singing out to passers-by to come and feed the birds for just tuppence a bag. That cathedral, those steps, the many places for the birds to rest, all came from the inspiration that was given to Christopher Wren, who desired nothing more than to build structures that glorified the name of God. Ralph Waldo Emerson was discussing wisdom once, and he said that Raphael paints wisdom, Handel sings it, Shakespeare writes it, Luther preaches it, and Wren builds it. Describing the nature of his work, Wren once said that architecture aims at eternity. Now, he was a solid student of the Bible. He knows that there is nothing that is transferred from this earth to the new earth except for us. That's why he did not say architecture builds for eternity. He said architecture aims at eternity. He meant that the buildings that we build, that we occupy, whether it is our homes, our offices, or especially our churches, that these are to direct the minds of the people who enter them towards eternity and towards eternity's Lord. This same passion was in David's heart at the end of his life. He had appointed his son Solomon to succeed him as king, and he charged him to make his very first work as king, the building of God's house. Open your Bibles with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. First Chronicles chapter 22, and let's read together from verse 5. David said, "My son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all the nations. Therefore I will make preparations for it." So David made extensive preparations before his death. Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. And then it goes on and describes here his charge to Solomon and explaining why he couldn't build the place himself because of the blood that he had shed, but that it was Solomon's responsibility then to build this house for God. Verse 11, it says, "Now, my son, the Lord be with you, and may you have success and build the house of the Lord your God as he said that you would." And in verse 14, he discusses what he had done. "I have taken great pains to provide for the temple of the Lord." And he discusses the accumulation of materials and of wealth that it would take to do this wonderful thing. And then at a great convocation of all Israel's leaders, King David commanded them the following. It says this from verse 17 there in chapter 22. "Then David ordered all the leaders of Israel to help his son Solomon. He said to them, 'Is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not granted you rest on every side? For he has handed the inhabitants of the land over to me, and the land is subject to the Lord and to his people. Now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. Begin to build the sanctuary of the Lord God, so that you may bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the sacred articles belonging to God into the temple that will be built for the name of the Lord. So David's purpose, this is an important point to get. David's purpose in building the temple was to provide a place of worship for God's people where the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of the Almighty could be housed, where the truth of the Lord's word could be proclaimed, and that the children of Israel could be blessed. Now, in the Christian era, that presence that sat on the mercy seat in the Ark of the Covenant occupies a different spot. We read it this morning. It was read for us in our scripture reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 3. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul discusses the church of God. He talks about its foundation there in verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." And then Paul discusses this presence, the presence of God, in verse 16. He says, "Don't you know that you yourselves," he's speaking here in the plural, the word "you" is in the plural, meaning you all, the church, "don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and you are that temple." So the modern church and congregation is still a composition of the same elements that existed in the service of the first temple built there in Jerusalem. We have in our church a specific place that is set apart for a sacred purpose, where God's people may assemble to praise and worship him, where the word of God's truth is proclaimed, and the presence of the Almighty will be among them, because it is with us. And God's children can there be blessed. As Jesus promised in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." You and I have been privileged to be called by the Lord to build a structure to his glory in our community. It is to be a place where the fullness of the eternal gospel is proclaimed in a faithful manner. Today we prayerfully dedicate the foundation of that building. So I'm going to ask all of you to leave this tent, to walk up with me to the side of our sanctuary. As you exit the tent, the deacons are going to hand you a piece of music, which we will be singing together up there. We've asked that you bring a stone from your own homes. We ask that you bring those with you, because we're going to be leaving them there for the foundation of the sanctuary. And then we'll be coming back here afterwards for our fellowship lunch.